extraordinary circumstances, so she's going to be allowed to participate. Need a motion to approve the minutes of August 13.
Second.
Any corrections, changes? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. No grievances, Nate? Elections.
Morning. I'm here alone today. Vicky has family emergency she has to tend to, but I am here to get I'll start with the next vote termination contract. A while back, they told us that they were no longer going to be servicing voter registration system, and so we had to start searching for a new voter registration system, which we do have out in RFP, and we will go on the 19th to see who has submitted to that. But until then, they wanted us to sign a contract on our termination agreement, and we had the county attorney go over it, and they said it looks good. The only thing I would like to add is if after the general election, if we had any audits or challenges to the general election, that we would be able to have extended services past the December 31st deadline, and because that could possibly happen with a federal election. But other than that, we are okay to, they wanted to make sure we were okay with the contract.
Got a motion?
So move.
I'll move it. Second.
Questions?
Yeah. How long was our contract with them? Like, are they cutting it short here or?
Oh yeah. They pulled out of all of New York State. Okay. So there was eight of us counties that were on with Next Vote. And I believe we might've had two more years left on it or something like that. But yeah, I can't remember Vicky would know the amount of term it was, but they were pulling out by the end of December 31st. A lot of them have already pulled out before the June election. We didn't feel that we wanted to learn a new one in such a short time between April and June. So we decided to stay to the end of the year.
Okay. And so do we pay them on an annual basis? Is that how we?
Yes, we paid them up front on an annual basis. So I believe on the last page, it indicated how much we would get a proration
refund
on it. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Curious.
Okay. The next thing is we have found a grant that's for civil service. And we, I guess, had it in the past. I don't recall this one, but Vicky reached out and we got them to give us a $50,000 tech grant. Could be anything from updating our existing voter reg system tablets to laptops to migration over to the new voter reg system, or even doing some online inspector training. And that's what we intended to kind of use this for. We only have to the end of this year to use it.
I'll make
the
motion. Second.
We have a motion and a second. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
Thank you. Thank That's you. All I got.
Colleen, I have a question.
Yes.
I wanted to see how many people are you short now for inspectors?
I haven't got those numbers with me up here, but I think we are in a better state right now than we were before. So
are you still in the hundreds or?
Oh yeah. I think we have about 300 plus. So, but I didn't even look at those numbers. I'm sorry, Hilda. I can get that to you in an email if you want.
Yes. Please. Could you do that?
Carol.
Colleen, I think in the last meeting minutes, you talked about looking for a vendor to print the absentee ballots and mail them. Have you done anything on that?
I haven't talked to Vicky about that one, but we do know that there is Phoenix that does it, but I know Image Now is our printer, so I'm not sure that we're going to, we would like to use Phoenix, but I don't know how we have to go about that.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Mitch.
Good morning.
Morning.
Just one item we have. Hopefully you all get the memo I had sent out, kind of explaining what I'll be requesting. But so with Tammy's upcoming retirement, we're interested in having a contract in place with her for a year following her retirement. And we were proposing to have that be at a not to exceed 20,000. And she would be reimbursed at $75 an hour on a biweekly basis if needed. And we would identify the $5,000 for this year, the remainder of this year, and plan to budget the 15 and the 25 budget if it were approved. You know, Tammy is has a wealth of institutional knowledge and expertise that you know, we want to help retain as much of that as we can over the next year or so. Like I said, we've done a lot of that over the past year, there's certainly always more. So, and that's about all I had. So
I'll make the motion.
A second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Carries.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
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 So what I have this morning is a request to transfer into our judgment and claims account in the amount of $120,000. Our judgment and claims account in the risk office handles all the bills for repairs, all the vehicles it had every deer on 86 and 17 and all over, repairs of equipment, etc. We also pay defense, you know, to our attorneys for our potential claims we have on, you know, on file with the county, torts, etc. We also pay settlements out of there. That would be claims that are liability settlements, nothing to do with workers' comp. So this is totally separate from that. We typically each year start out with $350,000 in there. Right now, we have spent just a hair over $300,000, about 40 grand in repairs to vehicles and equipment, a little under $300,000 right now to date to attorneys for claims we have on file right now with the county. So that also includes a small settlement in that $300,000 number. In comparison, last year we had $350,000. We spent just around 200 and change and ended up transferring about 150 back into reserves that we didn't use. So it varies in this account depending upon what we get for, you know, potential claims and defenses that we have. So, and repairs, we never know how many vehicles we're going to have to fix. Right now, we have about 35,000 in repair bills and invoices we're holding to pay on our vehicles and equipment that we've had damage that we've got to get taken care of. So with this 120, I'm pretty sure that that'll get us through the end of 2024.
So move.
Second.
Yeah. So what are we having, just more claims that we're dealing with?
There's more activity in the claims. You know, when we look at the claims we have and the you know, the suits that we're doing or that discussions, those always add up to fees to these attorneys that we use outside of our own internal work.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of those, we handle all those bills. So,
but the repairs have been roughly the same.
Yeah, you know, knock on wood, that stays the same. You know, we've had a few more. I mean, typically that number varies in that 40 to 60,000 a year. You know, one of the things off subject to this is, you know, once we get into our new insurance broker for our new insurance coverage, one of the discussions is looking at that side of the repairs and what we've paid versus doing something different in our insurance protection. So that's okay. A whole other.
So you said you had 40 in repairs and you were also holding an additional 35?
We've got one fairly sizable claim that DPW backed into an individual's car in one of their projects, and it's about a $22,000 claim because it totally.
So we're looking at 75 at
could,
right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. So, but I'm pretty comfortable that 120 will get us through what we've got into books to pay and what we should not see or see coming for the rest of the year.
Anything else? Kelly?
I was just curious if this account is where we cover the attorneys for such as the 209 committee and yep. Other litigation type. Okay.
So that 209 committee, just a reference right now, year to date's about 65,000 of that 300 we've spent on defense costs with attorneys.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks. Now we got the Nate Altman show.
Backhammer doesn't beat me up too bad.
But... he will.
Okay. Just a couple requests today. First is in the district attorney's office. As we said the other day, we're asking to reclassify a currently filled part-time ADA trainee position to a full-time ADA trainee position. In this situation where the individual has graduated school, has already taken the bar, correct?
Taking the exam. He's taking the bar exam. He has his interview next. So
you know, the way this works is in a trainee position, once they possess the qualifications that they need to be an ADA, they would automatically transition to a DA.
So is this classification going to have the same pay as if they were an ADA?
No, it's a grade lower. So once they, you know, obviously once they passes is successful on the bar exam, has the qualifications, move up a grade, and with the ADA title, with the trainee removed.
So we don't, it doesn't have to come back to us to then reclassify again. Okay.
Your motion?
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Questions? Gary?
He's waiting for the next one.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Gary.
All right. And next in the office for the aging. And the agenda is a little bit off, and I'll explain that in a minute, as I did yesterday. But these requests are all the same kind of idea that we've been talking about before with bringing the contracts in-house. The first one is request to create a one senior typist position, CSEA grade F.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second that one.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Carries.
And the next is a request. It says 7, but we're going to ask for 6. Aging Services Assistant positions, CSEA grade D.
And for those that weren't at Health and Ed, this is bringing contract services to county employment.
And this is roughly
the same
expense.
Roughly the same expense, not adding technical headcount in terms of what we contract for versus what we will now be hiring.
Got a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
Any other questions? You have question. A question, Gary?
So in the overall cost, how much more is it costing us to convert from private to government?
If I had to take a rough guess, it'd be in the neighborhood of 10%. It depends upon the contract specifically, but because we are seeing that for contract services, they are baking in a lot more in insurances and things like that, where we've kept our county insurance since we're self-funded. Right. We haven't done, you know, 20% increases. Their employees are privately insured, you know, so if Excellus or whomever increases at 20%, they're going to pass that cost on to us. So right now I'd say conservatively 10, probably less. So, you know, it might cost us 4 or 5 grand more per position, but I think it's worth it for a recruitment retention standpoint. And then also, I think we talked about a number of times, and Craig's had to deal with it. Jen's formally had to deal with it. The contract services are tough because we technically don't supervise the employees of those agencies.
Right.
And we've had a number of times where if counseling is needed, if there's an issue, we have to then go to the contract agency, who then has to handle that situation. We work with them, but it's a muddy mess. So I think in the long run, rolling more of these back in is a good thing for us.
Thank you.
So these positions, is it a position they have to be licensed and then they can qualify, or is it they have to take a civil service?
No license, yeah.
No license. And well, there is a civil service test, but this is the title that we are applying for, that HELP program, to where the state is waiving the test on a lot of these positions. So we expect that will probably be approved. So it'll be that they have to qualify for with the minimum qualifications for the job, but there's no license or anything like
that. Yeah, that's my biggest concern, is because if you have the people hired out already, then we know we have them, versus if they got to take a test and they don't.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you don't know where they're going to place, but with a title like this too, you know, it does require some experience in the field. So, you know, you're likely to get these folks who are already working contract for us to come, and you're not likely to get a lot of other ones, even if there were a test. So it's not as big of a deal as it would be in some other titles.
So the people who are currently contracting with have they expressed an interest to transfer over, or?
Some my understanding is that some have. The indication we received is we shouldn't have an issue recruiting for these positions if you folks create them.
Girl.
So will there be a probation period?
There is a probation period, yes. Okay. 26
8 to 26 weeks. Yeah.
Thank you.
Anything else?
I think we need to amend the motion to be six positions rather than seven.
It is.
Oh, okay. They took it as part of the motion.
Okay. All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
And then along with that same one is a request to create one specialist service for the aging, CSEA grade J. And the reason that was taken out of the seven is that particular position does some different duties than the other six. And that title fits those duties much better.
So move.
Second.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Motion carries.
Okay, community services, request to reclassify one currently filled supervising clerk position, CSEA grade J, to an office manager, CSEA grade K. This was an in-depth look at a long-standing position that is, you know, as a lot of them do, morphs over the years. People get greater responsibilities. And after looking at the duties and seeing what the individual in the position does, the office manager is the appropriate title.
So move.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carries.
And also in community services, asking to reclassify one vacant account clerk typist position, CSEA grade D, to a senior account clerk typist, CSEA grade I. This has to do with billing you know, getting their billing done. They have also indicated that we will zero base a vacant senior clerk, which is a grade D. So the addition would be around $7,000 to the budget, but they currently have plenty of that due to vacancies in the personnel lines.
I'll move it.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carries.
Public health, asking to reclassify one vacant registered professional nurse position, CSEA grade O, to a licensed practical nurse, CSEA grade G. As I described yesterday, they have an excellent candidate for this. So we're looking to hire.
Quick, Gary. It's lower amount.
It's lower.
Come on.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Curious.
And on the social services, we have a request to create one registered professional nurse position, CSEA grade O. And this is something that traditionally was contracted for the CAC. They have an excellent candidate for an in-house, and obviously given recruitment and retention, we'd like to hire.
Motion.
Again. Gary?
Why are we creating? Why are we creating a position?
So this is one of those situations where we generally contract it again, contracts. So now we have an opportunity to bring it in-house.
So we have a position available?
We have a lot of social service positions. I'd much rather reclassify one of them if we can. We've got like 20-something positions, I think, vacant.
I mean, I know what we're doing with the budget, but sometime or another, we should be using them.
Yeah, Kathy can.
A position for a child advocacy center. We have historically contracted for this position. I have a candidate that's interested in coming on board. She's currently in the state retirement system. She wants to stay in the state retirement system. So it's tough to find nurses, as Darlene can attest to. I know I have some current vacancies, but I really don't have anything available to trade for a nurse.
So like these caseworker slots, you couldn't just reclassify those? Or
so my caseworkers are for my child protective units, preventive. I think foster care is full right now for the moment, but I do have a lot of turnover, and these positions are really needed to meet the demands of the department, and my workers are doing overtime to compensate for those vacancies.
Yeah. If you take a look at probably looking at the vacancy list.
Yep.
So, you know, in one of the discussions that Kathy and I had during our budget meeting, I think you'll likely see, excuse me, a couple of the older, because we have some there that haven't been filled for a number of years. We're having discussions about zero basing a couple of those. So, you know, going that way, I think, creating this way and then taking a look at those older positions. But like Kathy said,
so what would we zero base?
Well, we're looking.
If you got a suggestion, I'm fine creating a position if we're going to zero base another position.
Well, that's something I don't have a recommendation right now, because we're doing that as part of the budget.
Do you have a recommendation? Like,
not at this point. We just put our budget together and we've been evaluating the vacancies, and what we are going to propose is to look at what we can do, perhaps even 3/4 of the year, reduce the cost for 75%, because there is such a turnover.
Sure.
To get us through some of the budget struggles that we're having this year. But I don't have a firm zero base title.
When can I get some suggestions on the zero base?
It'll be during budget. So yeah. Next month.
All right.
Is any part of that position this is reimbursed by the state?
It's 100% funded. This position is. It's federally and state funded.
I was just going to say that, and I have no problems and no qualms about establishing a new position for this. This is unique. This is different.
Yes.
Anything else? We have a motion second.
Yep. We did have all a
favor.
Motion.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Jack.
Two items. Am I able to share, Amanda?
You're a host.
Thank you. All right. So, and apologies for sending late yesterday. Let's see if I can make that full screen. Why is that not sharing? Okay, there we go. So we do have just received in the past few days the finalized draft compensation report for management as presented by Catapult. It's been since 2018 into 19 was the last time that management was evaluated from an outside agency. What you can see, and Scott asked some good questions that were sent around to everyone. These are the sources that Catapult has used. Again, they're focused on the Southern Tier region. The Greater Rochester Chamber of Commerce has less weight, so we're not, you know, skewing the data by pulling in
the city
really high Monroe County salaries or anything. If you look at our peer group, and to address Scott's question from yesterday, Yates was not included, even though they're a neighbor, because in our discussions with Catapult, they were bringing it down. They were an outlier where they also started with Tompkins included. And we had discussions that was an outlier on the opposite side, driving it too much. So removing the two of them seem fine. And we do use these counties generally as the comparables that we have. You all know our population and our budget. So, you know, the goals are the same goals. You got to have the external competitiveness and internal equity are the main things to make sure that we're competitive in retaining and recruiting, but also that we don't upset the apple cart from an internal equity standpoint and create unforeseen issues. As you can see, and as expected, the base salaries for management are low compared to the peer group and data. One of the reasons, and we've talked about this, you know, during since 2019, we've run into some difficult economic times. One year where management received a 0% increase. Now the next year they did receive two-step. Your management salary plan and resolutions that this legislature or previous legislatures have adopted adjusts the grid that you've seen commensurate with whatever percentage CSEA gets. But CSEA was without a contract for a while. And, you know, again, hindsight 2020, I wish I had forecasted it better. CSEA, last CSEA contract, we're going into negotiations with them this fall, but the last CSEA contract didn't adjust that grid at all during the course of that. So management salary grid itself hasn't been adjusted to note inflation. So it makes sense that we're a little bit behind. And I think, you know, many of you, I've talked to you, you've heard feedback from other departments as well that we've seen that for some positions, particularly, we are behind market. So they took a look. They noted our benefits, as expected, are at or above market. We know our health insurance is extraordinarily competitive. The state retirement is attractive. They did bring up some pretty interesting points on paid time off. We do have pretty generous paid time off, but, you know, we're seeing that candidates coming in, you know, really, really value that. So we need to take a look at some of those things. And then also, longevity is something that all of our bargaining unit members get, you know, certain dollar amounts once you hit thresholds, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years. Management does not. That's not something I'm, especially when we talk about the cost of this, that's not something that I'm necessarily prepared to recommend to you at this point, but something for the future to consider. Again, eye chart, but this is our current management salary grid. What Catapult has found is that to be competitive with the public sector comps that they use, local governments, state positions, those sort of things in the Southern Tier region, that a 6% adjustment on the management salary grid would get us to a market rate and much better at recruiting and retaining. They also stated that to be competitive with the private sector, they recommended an 8%. We are not, for recommendation purposes, we are not recommending that right now because it's frankly just different. I'm not aware of any other counties necessarily, maybe Ontario, maybe Tompkins, you know, using private data, private market data to compare against. There are certainly some positions, attorneys, to Mr. Thu's point, some of the licensed positions that we have, specifically talking about management, that we are competing actively against the private sector. But there are many others that, you know, don't have a real close private sector fit. So that's why we're recommending the 6% adjustment. The good news is they found our position grading to be largely still valid in terms of where positions should be graded, both for internal equity and for comparison to the market. The ones that have highlight or that have asterisks or parentheses in red shows the previous grade. So there were, I think, less than a dozen positions out of the dozens that you have that they found based upon market data and difficulty recruiting, retaining, that they would recommend moving up a grade. Or in, I think most of them were just a grade. Some might have been two. So that is that piece. Mr. Van Etten asked a good question yesterday also. you know, what's the total management cost? Because to model this in, and again, we don't have a final work product for you to review, but I would estimate as you make you're evaluating and making your decisions that I believe 9% or a little less first year implementation cost is the approximate cost. So a $10 million total management salary top line. Right now, the modeling that we're using is showing around $880,000 first year cost. So that's your 6% in the grid, and it's slotting people according to the market rate within the new grid, trying to model that in the new 6%, and then factoring in some of the upgrades that were. So obviously, the positions that were upgraded are going to be more than that 6%. So that's why it's closer to 9. It's something we'd certainly recommend. You know, we're trying to do this for all of our bargaining units and others, is to try to get to a market rate that we can be competitive at. I know that there are at least 3-4 of our neighboring counties that are going through this exercise as we speak as well, because they're seeing the same difficulties that we are in terms of keeping this up. So
6% plus, right?
Well, if somebody gets elevated to a different grade,
correct.
Grade more than a 6%.
Correct. So the grid.
I mean, I like to talk real cost. So 6% plus cost with benefits.
With benefits, yeah, you're going to have, and depending, we have a lot of management that are in positions that can be reimbursed. You're talking another, you know, 20% on top of that. So the 880 I was referencing is salary only. So you add another 150, 200K to right. that. So about a, for, yep. for the 150 management employees, you're talking, you know, almost probably $1 million.
Right.
It's not insignificant.
No.
But I think it's, you know, something that to be able to, be in a strong competitive position to compete against our neighboring counties.
No, I'm not talking against it, but I like talk real costs. I don't like talk 6% because we know it's going to cost when we go and do budgets and so on. We know it's going to cost more than a 6%.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's the 6% is so the decision point for you all, whether you want to make it today or at a later time, is the salary structure of the management salary plan, because this committee is the one that reviews that.
Right.
The consultants are recommending adjusting that by 6%, and they feel that by doing that, they'll be able to, what will be in a market position. And then our job that we're actively working on is to take those positions and put them into that new grid to the closest, essentially the closest step yeah. in that new 6% grid. Which is what we're working on and what the costs that I've talked about are based on.
So does the committee want to take action on this today, or
if you're ready? I know you just got it yesterday.
What was your, I'm sorry.
Do you want to take action on this today, or do you want to have a chance to digest it, think about it some more, and act on it maybe in October?
It's
got to be done.
You'd have to, probably if you're comfortable before the meeting, because at budget time, I'm going to need to show you management in October. I need to show you management salaries, and it'd be good to have it in a new.
Well, if you're prepared to act on it now, is there a motion?
Can't yeah. we just do like a special session during our regular legislative meeting?
You certainly could.
All right. So you want to hold off until then?
Give us a little time.
Get a chance to look it over.
I'd Kelly? Like some time.
I just think we should vote on it now, because I compare these salaries with the public sector, and you know, I think our people work hard, and I just
no, but I made the motion.
You made the motion.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll second.
Kelly,
I just wanted to ask, within this 2024 salary structure in this management, there are certain people on the grid that would still get paid overtime, and then there are people that would not get paid overtime. Is that correct?
Yeah, there are, it's a minority of individuals that would get paid overtime. What would you guess? Less than 10% on here. I mean, some of your folks in elections, not the commissioners, unfortunately for them, but some of your folks in elections are not exempt from overtime. Most of your clerical positions are not exempt from overtime, but basically anything else is overtime exempt.
Okay. And, you know, the other thing to consider is that we talked about in our mission statement how important our employees are. So we know we need to do this. So I'm not sure if there's really any major benefit in waiting to vote for this. And so that is an extremely important thing to talk about.
Sure, but this won't be implemented until January 1, right?
Yeah, but you're building a budget soon.
Sure.
Yeah, it'll be implemented.
It's got to be in the budget.
You would have to, well, you don't have to do anything. What I would recommend is to be able to, if you want the this management salary plan to be effective 2025, we have to present you by your rules, the management salaries at this committee in October. It'd be nice to be able to do that if you're going to adopt a new plan. If that's the consensus, it'd be good to have that in place before then. Now, obviously, we can do a lot of work behind the scenes,
right,
and get that all ready, which we're already doing. And that's where the cost. The other conversation is there are a few, because of compression, that this committee and others have talked about adjusting mid-year. So obviously, if we would need this in place to be able to adjust those few that we talked about mid-year.
I don't have a problem with that. I just was wondering.
Right, because this is actually labeled as proposed 2024 salary structure. So in reality, it's, if we don't adopt it until 1-1, it's a 2025.
It would be, it would be 2025, and that's the label Catapult used.
Right.
We're using it for the 2025 budget with the option. We promised you a few months ago that we'd look at the compression issue relative to management. So we are ready. That's an executive session discussion. But if you went forward with this, we're ready to talk about those few positions for 2024.
So this is Hilda. I don't think it's a surprise. I think we all knew it was coming, and I don't see that we should wait. I think we should get this started and approve it.
Yeah, I guess we're not taking finalized action on this until the budget process anyhow.
We would have to, during the budget process, next month, this committee reviews management salaries. So we will be showing you a detailed spreadsheet, and we'll get that to you prior so that you have time to review of where we're proposing to slot them based on this new structure.
That's fine.
Yep.
So we got a motion second. Anything else?
Yep.
All I think part of the issue as far as the rush, if you feel like you're being rushed, is the timing of the report. I mean, it came out much later than what we had thought it would.
Yeah, we've been, and Catapult's been great to work with, but we've been pushing them. Our target was July. What they got us initially wasn't ready, because they, we went through the Yates, we went through the Tompkins, we went through other things where, they're the outside experts that are recommending, but some of these positions and part of this process is, there are a number of these positions that even by job title, they need more details about what that does and who they supervise and those sort of things that they can't get from a job description. So those are the interactive conversations we had. So we've been pushing them, and I don't like, it's uncomfortable, and I apologize. I don't like sending you something the day before, but we've all been kind of nose to the grindstone trying to get it ready for you as quick as possible.
And I guess my other, I guess, point of clarification to Mr. Swackhammer's comment about the additional costs other than just salary. So health insurance doesn't change no matter how much money they're making, right? So that's a largest portion of the benefits that we pay.
Well, retirement, oh, that's good.
Retirement will, and the FICA share of the employer, but I think that's right. About it, right?
That's really it. There's a couple other more minor additives, the FICA and retirement. So you're going to pay the same percentage, but you're paying it on an amount that's 9% more. So
is FUI and SUI, is that related to income level?
FUTA and state unemployment.
Yeah.
Those are capped. So,
okay.
They're capped at levels well below these salaries.
Okay.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking it's, you know, 20% is the very high mark. I think it's more like, again, a rough guess, and I can get a better estimate. You know, we can share this as we prepare for next month for presentation. We can get what the cost will be, but I'm thinking $100,000 on top of the 800 and some.
I feel like we need to make the decision today from a budgetary building standpoint. We can't expect them to start building it on a set of numbers and then have to go in and change it a month later because we then accept an increase. It's just better for the process if they know what they're working with when they start.
Yeah, we need it on the books.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
This is at the 6%, right?
Carries.
Correct. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Is that it for open?
That's all I have for open.
So we need a motion to go into executive session for compensation.
Compensation of particular individuals.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carries. We're in executive session.
Aye.
Aye.
We're out of executive session. Do we have to report anything in open session?
She can do that.
Okay. Yeah. So we're good. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Aye.
Second.